This spring, Ladbrokes is changing the way you multi, and with their new multi features, giving you more chances to win. Gamble responsibly.
The Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Big Breakfast, it's Marto, Margo, and Nick Cody on 104.5 Triple M. Question for everyone driving out there, when did you lose your load? That's just after 6:30.
Oh, guys, keep an eye out for your postman in the next couple of days because there's an invitation on its way. My birthday is coming up. I'm so excited. I love birthdays. It's the best thing ever. It's like the only day you get that's all about you and people love you and they message you and they call you and you get all the attention.
Nick, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Your birthday, first of all, is ages away. We'll get into that shortly. January?
Truth in disclosure, it's January 17 if I remember.
But if I can just...
January 17.
It's October. Because December, 3 months and 2 days. Wipe out all of December because it's school holidays, it's Christmas, everybody goes away, there's New Year's. So December doesn't technically really count. So it's only like a month and a half away.
Why are you even
But
talking
do you know what
about?
I mean? Because like my birthday is the middle of January, which is still school holidays, so people are away, or they've just celebrated Christmas, or they've just had New Year's celebrations. Yeah. And so then like my birthday kind of like comes around really quickly because we get busy. We go away for 4 weeks down the Gold Coast. And so I like to be prepared. I want to get my invitations out to everybody before
and you send them.
They go away.
You send them out. You send
in
out physical invites.
I like that.
I know the amount of people Margo has at a party. Poor Australia Post today. Guys, we're going to need some of you to do some unpaid overtime.
Excuse me. I've cut the list down this year. Thank you very much.
How many?
Last year was 75. This year is 62.
But it's not even a milestone. Like, it's not a one with the finishes with
doesn't
a zero.
Doesn't matter. It does.
How big
it's
are those
milestone.
Ones?
It's 36. You only turn 36 once, Marto.
True.
But how many people come
she's
to
got
the...
you there.
Yeah.
Got
yeah.
you. Cop that.
I backed
didn't think
down
of that,
completely.
Did you?
But how many people came to the ones when zero was on the end of them? Or your 21st? How many did you have at your 21st? 3,000?
Like 100 and something, yeah.
Yeah, the Gabba on Grand
Final. It's the best thing ever. And you know what? I throw an epic bloody birthday party. Yeah. And so people love it. It's like a wedding. Like everyone's like, oh, we're going to get free food and drink. Yeah. Let's go to Margo's party. So it's fun. I'm excited. This is the invitation just so that you have a little preview.
Hold on. Wow.
Everyone
made
it myself.
This isn't nonsense. You are ready to go for a January 17th birthday party.
Yeah, it's January 16th.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, because my birthday falls on a Sunday next year, and so I'm going to have the party on the Saturday.
You need
so
the recovery day.
I need the recovery day. I'm going to wake up, lay by the pool.
You're serious, aren't you?
I'm so serious.
What did we learn out of this?
I'm ready to go.
Nothing.
You only turn 36 once.
Yes. The Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Of course, we have the traffic every 15 minutes here at Triple M, and everyone driving in. Often, we can help you out. If something falls off a car, how many times a day? I reckon 2-3 times a day on Triple M we go, oh, out at the gateway arterial, there's a ladder falling off a truck. Be careful in the right-hand lane. But there was one on the news last night they were talking about. They had, because they got so many cameras everywhere, they've got this vision. And the reporter started talking about it.
Transurban cameras capturing the entire ordeal. Metres of plastic wrapping around Adrian's car like giant tentacles.
Right, a roll of plastic unraveled off a truck, fell off a truck and rolled out.
That
and,
is so dangerous.
And got stuck on one car and it wrapped around as what? She drove. It got tighter and tighter and then it broke off. And it was like a jellyfish overtook this car.
Like what scared people do to their luggage at the airport, wrapping it up after Chappelle.
Every
but it's
time
like they
you
did
travel
a really
to Bali.
It's like they did a really bad job because there were just lengths of it hanging off. Here's Adrian.
That a truck about 100 metres in front of me in the left-hand lane started losing what appeared to be packing material.
So it's fallen off, hit her car, and then can you imagine? So it's hanging out the back. It must have been, I'm imagining, 10 or 20 metres out the back because other cars, you know when someone stands on your thong?
Was wrapping itself around me and a couple of times I felt it tug when cars had hit it or run over it.
Oh, is that nonsense? Oh, no,
how
it must
scary.
Be. I know.
And that she was really scary.
In the right-hand lane too, in the fast
right
lane.
Near the...
So she pulled over on the M1, she pulled over into the right-hand side of the right-hand lane. So cars are just going.
Zooming
at
past.
Clappers faster.
Silver lining, good ad for that plastic.
That
like if you can wrap a car at speed,
and
like how strong
and slow
is that?
It down. Not bad. That's not bad. I am heading somewhere here because listen to these stats.
There's been 160 lost load incidents on Transurban toll roads in the past month alone. The message to drivers is make sure everything you're carrying on board is secured.
160 a month, and that's only the ones where they can see them on cameras.
Oh,
I'm responsible for some
that's
of this.
So
I've
scary.
Had a, I've had ladder fallen off over the years.
Have you?
I had wicked about 20 pine studs at a set of lights. They went over the front of the car, and cars just kept going through the intersection, driving over my timber. Then the walk of shame. Well, you ever seen the walk of shame when you got to walk back 300 metres on the motorway and pick up something, a bucket. And,
mattress.
I almost got killed once by a bit of 2x4 that fell off a ute in front of me.
4x2 hardwood?
Yeah. So there was, I was in the right-hand lane in a mate's car, and there was a truck to the left of us and then a ute in front of that truck. We all would have been doing 100, 110.
Yeah.
Wood fell off, went under the wheel of the truck, shot out and speared into the windshield. And I was saved by a legal tint.
Illegal tint? What do you mean?
Well, it had an illegal tint on there. It had so much tint.
Oh, it held the windscreen together.
It held it together.
Oh,
and that saved your life.
Tackiness. I'm only here right now because of tackiness.
Actually, that's what we want, Dave. When did you lose your load? When did you lose your load? Or when did you see somebody else lose your load? Like, you see buckets fall off things. We want to talk about it right now because there's not everyone's tying their load down or putting the spider cages over the top. When, what have you seen fall off the back of a truck or a ute? When did you lose your load? Made a lot of moves in the last few years to get people to secure their loads a lot better, but it's still...
Because you can't use jockey straps anymore. You have to use ratchet straps. Is that correct?
You're supposed to, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not jockey, they're ocky, as the octopus. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Dan from Caboolture. When did you lose your load? Good morning.
When did you call something the wrong name?
When did you lose your load, Dan?
I didn't. But this would have been about 25 years ago. It was on, back then it was called Glasshouse Mountains Road. Now it's Steve Irwin Way.
Steve Irwin Way, yeah.
Landsborough.
Yep. I was doing 100 k's an hour in a car, away, and he was home 100 k's an hour, and a 44-gallon drum fell off the back of the truck. It must have been empty.
Going the same way as you, Dan?
It landed in my car, bounced over the top of my car, and I watched it behind me.
Hold on, we missed a little bit of... Did everyone miss that?
Yeah.
Or was it only my headphones?
Sort of cut out a little bit there, Dan. Dan. So about the empty 44-gallon drum landed in front of your car, then bounced over it.
Bounced over the top of my car.
Whoa.
Jesus.
Was the truck going the same way or the other way?
No, he was coming towards me. I was coming the other way. It landed right in front of me, bounced straight over the top of the car.
What did you do then?
What was your reaction? Yeah.
It just happened that quick. Couldn't believe it.
Kept driving?
Yeah, you don't.
Didn't stop,
just
pull
kept
over?
Driving. Like I said, no, I didn't pull up, just watched it land in front of us, bounced, and there was someone else in the car with me, landed in front of us, bounced over the car, and just kept rolling down the road.
I would have pulled into a servo and changed my pants.
No, when that bit of wood fell off the ute in front of me a couple of years ago and went through my mate's windshield, we just kept driving. We must have driven for 30 minutes before saying anything to the other one.
Shock.
Because you just think, yeah, you're in shock. We could have been in a lot of trouble. You just don't do anything.
You could have died in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for lightening the mood there, Dave.
0484 10 1045 Marto's
what do you got?
Burner phone. Danielle's text through. She said, I had a blanket that I assuming fell out of someone's ute hit my windscreen in the middle of the gateway.
No.
I had to keep driving with my head out the window.
Like
a puppy dog, just hair in the breeze.
Because windscreen wipers wouldn't be strong enough to get the blanket off.
Maybe she didn't think of that. I don't know.
Count your blessings. Coming into winter, that would have been a good time to get a new blanket. Rob from Maruka, what happened to you? Oh, actually, Dave.
Hey, guys.
Hold on, Dave. Sorry, Rob. Go again.
That's all right. I was driving from Adelaide to Melbourne, and I had one of those cargo boxes on the roof of the car, which was full of bedding and all that sort of stuff. And this big truck went past the other way, went really close. I was like, geez, that close. That was close. I felt this sort of force on the car. Anyway, I'm driving along, and I see these things flying out the back, and it was, you know, pillows and towels and doonas and all this sort of stuff. The force of the truck had ripped open the lid on the cargo box and I lost my load, so that's me.
Did you lose a blanket, Rob? Because maybe you were driving Danielle. In front of Danielle, Rob. Who had the blanket across her windscreen.
Rob just lost some steam at the end there.
Rob, great story, Rob. Thank you.
Love it, Rob.
Lucky.
Hayden from Middle Park.
There you go.
We need to recover from when Rob. Did
you lose your load? Been in the heavy haulage construction industry 23 years, so I've seen a lot of stuff come off trucks and everything. But this particular time, I was moving 11 metre wide house, and the house split in half down the right hand side. Lost the whole right hand side of the house onto the road.
Hold on.
No, half a house.
Hayden, did you lose houses or did you make two townhouses? That's what it sounds like. Oh no,
Hayden's gone.
It's gone. And that's me. Mic drop, Hayden. See ya.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, listen, if you're unaware, overnight's Triple M, there's a lot of talk back goes on, a few songs, etc., but there's some very loose phone calls that occur. This was early this morning, okay? And the guy rang and he said, oh, he was talking about something. Then he said, want to give a couple of shout-outs, okay?
Well, that's always nervous.
Keep your fingers crossed. This is how it went down. Listen very carefully to this bloke's first and second shout-out.
Okay, first one goes out to Sharon. Babe, the last 2 months have been the most amazing of my life. You rock my world, and I'm going to say it, even though you don't want me to. I'm in love with you. I'd like to give one more shout-out, and it's to Toby, my best mate of 20-odd years, who's actually Sharon's son. Mate, your mum's beautiful inside and out, and I'm sorry I've kept it a secret, and you're finding out like this that I'm shagging her, but I promise I won't make you call me dad.
What?
No, I've trimmed that up, but that is how it came.
Oh, my God. Oh,
is that the safe version?
That's the safe version.
So what was his name?
Oh, I didn't even get his name.
He's shagging his best mate's mum, Toby's mum.
Yes, and that's how Toby finds out.
Toby found out. 2 months and he's in love. Oh, that's sad.
It's not sad. It's hilarious. It's love. Is that sad? Love? But it's respectful. He's not going to make his best mate call him dad. It's so special.
Jesus Christ.
That's Australia.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
God, you see, the two big games on the weekend are the Lions taking on the Cats on Saturday night. I reckon 30,000 fans, right with that. The Storm are playing the Raiders at Suncorp. They reckon 35,000, close to 35,000 go to that. Still a few tickets available if you want. And you see the big story on the front page of the Courier Mail. They're now saying the Gabba should be full, 40,000 for the grand final.
Well, they've made allowance for 30,000. They would like to see it at 35, but potentially 40. And I think if you're going to have 30,000 there, what's another 10,000 between friends?
Honestly.
Like, what's the difference, really? 30 to 40,000. Just get them all in there.
Yeah, 50,000. Piggyback a mate.
Sell more tickets. Sit on your laps.
So we'll see how that goes. But the other strange story was that story about the MCG. Did you see them cutting up bits of... Wally, if you missed it, Wally was talking about it on Channel 9 last night.
A chunk of the MCG grass is on its way to Brisbane right now in a refrigerated truck. It'll be relayed at the Gabba ahead of the decider next weekend.
As far as I could tell, it was 2 pieces, 3 metres long by 1 metre wide. They took them out of the MCG goal square and they're going to... plant them at the Gabba.
I hope it's not going
directly.
I'm just
watching it on the TV now on Channel 9. Like, how ridiculous. Like, I was the eye roll emoji, seriously, when I saw this last night. I was like, oh, of course they did. How stupid.
You don't have to be an emoji. You could just say, I rolled my eyes.
That's what the emoji's based on.
I was like, oh, Jesus.
An emotion.
All right. All right. Now,
please.
How vlogs the grand final away? Do those two rolls of turf have to go into a hotel?
Are they at the Western under
2 weeks
guard?
Quarantine?
Coming out, they come out of their room with a security guard for an hour a day and just water.
I don't want to see the patch of grass after some of that food I had to eat in there.
What's the point of it? Apparently the groundsman at the Gabba, he's filthy. He's not happy about it.
The Gabba looks magnificent at the moment and he's got to get this dodgy southern stuff in there.
You know what you do. Right. If you're the groundsman at the Gabba, you just say, yeah, I'll put it in.
Oh, yeah, it's there. There it is.
I can't prove otherwise. Who cares?
Well, why is it in a refrigerated truck? Like, why couldn't you just throw it in the back of your ute?
If it needs to stay cold. They come from Victoria. The weather down there is crap. It's not used to our beautiful sunshine and heat.
Well, it's
precious.
Ridiculous. And what happens if there is something like, who's touched that?
Oh,
it comes with the coronavirus.
Perhaps.
Can
a little,
grass
little
catch
bonus.
The coronavirus?
I'm serious. Why? Is that possible? Well,
maybe. On the grass for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't it say it sticks to plastic for a while?
For 28 days, they're saying. All right. So if we do the contact tracing. And all of a sudden, this is the new Ruby Princess.
Send it back.
the goal square.
Ruby Princess.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
the man who's never happy with any TV show and who also slept with the New South Wales Premier for 12 years, Rudy van der Steen.
That is absolutely correct. What a wonderful introduction. Me and Mike Baird had a intense lovemaking session across many years. Really? I also slept with Barry O'Farrell.
Neville
I was
Rand.
The one that gave him the bottle. Neville Ran. I tell you what, he would go off like a frog in a sock. Morris Ayema.
I wish I never brought it up.
All the male ones, not Christine Keneally, oh yuck, and Gladys Berejiklian. Be still my beating heart.
Who are you bagging today, Rudy?
Well, today I'm doing in Rudy's TV review. Previously I did the five most annoying female characters on TV. Today I'm doing the five most annoying male characters on TV.
Oh. This is a fair old lineup.
Number one, Nick Cody. Ah, gotcha.
Was it on his 20-to-1 stint or his Accidental Heroes? Which one?
Which fantastic show with me in chinos and a grey blazer are you making fun of me for?
No, these are all fictitious characters, Nick. So I'll have to put you on the list with Rove some other time. Now, the first most annoying male character is Doctor Who, where he arrived via a police phone booth. I am not a fan. Plus, he's always in there with a beautiful woman he never has a love interest with. Stop concentrating on your scarf and get on with the good stuff. Next is Frank Underwood, the president of the United States in the series House of Cards. It's the actor that plays him that makes him so annoying. Well done, Kevin Spacey. You took a horrible character and made him worse because you're a sexual predator. Next is the dwarf from Game of Thrones. Now, I know the correct language is short stature, but they referred to him as a dwarf, and so will I. Tyrion Lannister, beautifully played by Peter Dinklage, who also happens to be a dwarf, and he's also a sexual pervert. And number four is Alf Stewart from Home and Away.
Oh, yeah,
A man that has a record as the longest-running character in a TV series being played by Ray Maher for 32 years. Jesus. Alf is a bartender and keen businessman. His interests include being on the committee of the surf club, also has a bait shop, and takes part in recreational fishing. It says here on from Wikipedia, Maher often changes dialogue to suit Alf's speech. No shit, Sherlock. No one could write this mess. Have a listen.
I'll frame and kill you! If it's a fight you want, pal, you've just got yourself one.
We don't appreciate grubs like you butting into our family business, so you've got two choices. You either get the hell out of here or I knock your block off.
Well, I banned you from this house.
You did, but there's something...
Well, get out before I turf you out. You heard me. I don't have to say it again. This is my house, and I'll be rude to the Queen here if I feel like it.
Iconic.
Gold.
No, we were meant to go to the Alf package, not Mardo on a Monday morning.
Ah, no.
Let's have a listen and just pretend it's Mardo.
I'll flame and kill you! If it's a fight you want, pal, you just got yourself one.
There's too many flaming galahs on Morton. Must be school holidays.
Where's my rum?
Oh, that's good.
Now, number one on the most annoying characters of all time on Australian television and television everywhere, honourable mention to Mr. Kelly from Hey Dad. Currently in a correctional institution in Goulburn, and whatever's happening to you, you deserve.
I hate
you all. Goodbye.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
One of my big fears about being the parent of a toddler is the kid getting stuck into the cupboard. He's just getting into the cupboard. He's starting to look around. We've had to hide everything, pretty much.
Do you have those safety straps on the doors and stuff so he can't get in?
On some, but not all the doors.
Mm.
But I saw there's a kid over in the UK. Little girl has found her dad's, 18-month girl, has found her dad's hair removal cream.
Like NADS or whatever it is.
Mm.
And do men just put use it... hair removal cream?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is it for? His back hair?
Yeah, it could be shoulders, hairy situation.
Chest.
Yeah, and she's rubbed it on her head.
Oh, no.
And by the time the dad spotted it, only a couple minutes later, gone to wash it out, it has made a dead set huge bald patch. Oh,
how old's the kid?
18 months.
Girl, boy?
Little girl.
Oh,
look at that head. It is a rotten head.
That's magnificent. That's a bald wig.
Yeah. Looks like they've said. Looks like Pennywise the clown out of it.
Yellow card, Nick. You can't. Yeah. You can't say an 18-month-old has a rotten head.
Yeah, you can. You can. Absolute yeah. munted melon.
Walk around here and have a look, Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's beautiful, red, gorgeous hair too. Oh.
And all gone.
That's the 21st photo on the invitation,
oh,
isn't it?
Yeah.
That is like, you know, when kids cut their own hair, but 100,000 times worse.
I cut my own hair. Mm. I remember doing that as a little kid. Made an absolute mortar of it.
It's always in
course.
The spot where you can't fix it too. I remember Wiley put a big chunk through the front of his hair. I'm like, mate, do it in the back or
is
something.
Is there a
you know,
kid that hasn't had
it?
A go? Is there a kid that hasn't had a go at cutting their hair?
I know we were at a mate's place a few months ago and the kids have run in and had just taken my wife's friend all the makeup. Expensive makeup and just put it all over their face.
Of course, because that's what mummy does, so we want to be like mummy.
Yeah, well, I want to know, 133353, what did your kids get stuck into? Oh. They got into the cupboards, they found something.
No, when they get into the shed, geez, they find some stuff
dangerous.
Down there. Yeah, this toddler's started up power tools, because now they're cordless. They can get a hold of drills without having to plug them in, and they just...
I reckon pseudo cream is the worst one. My kids got into that a couple of times. It's like a tub of... Nappy rash cream, and it's white, and it's a thick paste.
I know
what do they do
one.
With
yeah.
it? And we had black carpet at one of our houses, and the kids got it. Memphis and Wiley, they were 2 and 3 at the time. I was pregnant with Jagger, and they got into it, and they smeared it all over each other. It was in their eyes. Their
white
hair
face.
Was all over the carpet. It was everywhere. And I just looked at it and went, oh, my God, I can't even be angry. I'm just sad at this point.
Have your kids ever tried to draw on themselves?
Oh, they draw.
To be like dad's
all the
tats?
Time. Yeah, they draw on themselves. River loves drawing on things at the moment. She likes to draw on the leather in my Land Cruiser. And she wrote on her door the other day. And I was like, babe, we draw on paper, not on the doors. Yeah. And she says, it says, Jagger, not go in my room.
Did
and I was
say
like,
that?
Oh, that's kind of cute.
Didn't say that,
no,
did
it was like X, Y, Z, T, P.
You don't have to write your name on stuff. Anyway, I'm hopping in my car with Margot on the license plate. What did your kids get stuck into? Chris from the sunny coast.
Well, mate, it was pretty simple. The wife went out. She'd had the kids all day. They're only about 3 and 4 at the time. And all I had to do was just finish off tea. She'd already started it. Bath the kids and, you know, have it ready when she gets home. And I thought, easy as.
Bang.
Put the TV on, watch a bit of sport.
Yeah.
And kids are going fine. I could hear them having a great time. Went in and checked on them. And they've got hold of those blue loos that you used to chuck at the system. Turn the water blue.
Oh, no, in the toilet.
Yeah. Oh, the...
Cracked open a pack of those and were colouring each other and all over the bathroom tiles in the grout.
Oh.
I came in there, they looked like a cross between Avatars and Smurfs.
That's unreal. Hey, did you get it off?
Absolutely nailed it.
Get it off by the time the missus came home?
Oh, no. First thing I did was went and grabbed my phone, took a couple of photos because I was wet myself laughing. It was just brilliant.
Yeah.
I was still working on the grout 2 days later.
Oh, God.
Just trying to get all the blue out of it. It was, phenomenal.
They would smell fresh, though. Thanks, Chris. Gary from Mango Hill, what'd you get stuck into? What'd your kids get stuck into?
Morning. It was actually me, to be honest. It was when I was about 4 years old, so a long time ago now. It was my old man had a HQ Monaro sitting in the shed.
Yes.
And I decided to open up a can of paint and do some finger painting.
Inside?
Oh, dear.
No, I was on the outside, luckily.
What
I had no
colour?
Keys, so I couldn't get in the inside.
Yeah, okay.
It was yellow. Yellow to a made purple. So.
Oh, no. How did you go discipline-wise?
Oh, yeah, I ran to the toilet, locked myself in there, grabbed the belt. So.
What, you grabbed the belt
grabbed
so it couldn't
belt.
Be used on you?
Knew he was in trouble.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly right.
That's a clever kid.
Tina, prepared.
Tina from Springfield Lakes, what'd your kids get stuck into?
My little girl was about 2 years old and she found a packet of those coloured dots that you use for on your files in your office.
Yeah, stickers.
She stripped all of her clothes off and stuck them on herself from head to toe. She strategically placed 2, very strategically, on her girly bit.
Her nipples?
No, no. Oh, we might go a little farther south than that.
Little mini?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So it looked so funny. We were laughing and we just let her run around naked like it for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it was about 35 degrees in the height of summer and she was nude and she was cool and she was spotty. And then we decided we'd take them off her and they wouldn't come off because she'd been sweating.
Oh, no.
So we're trying to pick these dots off this screaming kid. We decided that the go would be to stick her in the bath. We soaked her for nearly 3 hours.
Oh,
and I'm telling you, those nuts, those last two dots. That was the challenge.
Like super glue.
Jeez. Again, a good ad for those dots.
Hey.
They'll last through anything.
Good adhesion. Hey, we just got one on the burner phone. My eldest brother, who was 20 at the time, convinced my younger brother, who was 8, to put deep heat down the front of his pants.
Oh, yes. Oh,
classic brother.
Yeah, baby. No, that is a classic older brother move.
We might bring this back because there's all sorts of things going on. Plumbers, you know, plumbers glue.
Yeah.
It never comes off. All right. You get into anything. Let's come back with this another day.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M. Triple M. Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Nick Cody.
Here for Ladbrokes. They are changing the way you multi this spring carnival. Mm.
Hey, don't let Saturday hit you without putting some thought into it. It's Thursday, everyone.
Well, I'm just putting some thought into it now because I've got a bit of a group text. It's called Ladies' Day with a Horse.
Would you actually be betting on Saturday at the races?
Well, we want to do one of those, what is it called? Like multi. A syndicate type thing.
Oh, yeah. All throw in some money.
All throw in some money. Yeah. We're all going to bring $100 each and just put it into like a kitty. There's 12 of us.
Yeah.
And we thought that'll get us through the day and we can just put some bets on and pick out the different colours. You know, like I like to look at the number. Then
this
I look
syndicate.
At the name, okay. And then
syndicate.
I look at the colour of the jersey that the jockey wears.
And this syndicate will be the one in front at the end of the day. There'll be a bloke with a durry and a folded-up form guide going just circles everywhere.
How do they do it? That is incorrect because this weekend, proper horses win.
What is on this weekend?
It's the Everest and the Caulfield Cup.
In Melbourne, the Caulfield Cup, and what a card it is there. And in Sydney, the Everest. It's incredible.
It's the richest race. Hold on. It's $14 million.
And then think about multis, though, because you can multi all the races, but you can also do the multi across the rugby league on Friday night, Saturday night, AFL. Friday night, Saturday night. Wallabies, you can get them on the Sunday.
I've downloaded my Ladbrokes app and created an account. Marty, you're going to have to circle some names in the paper in the racing guide today for me so I know what to bet on.
They have blended legs, split legs.
Go with your colours.
I'm going to have split
legs. Divide your stake evenly across each runner with a split leg.
Hey-ya!
Ladbrokes, back yourself. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
She said she's going to yell at split legs at the races. Yellow Carter.
I'm going to do the splits at the end of the night.
No, that's not what you
I'm
did.
I'm going to start limbering
up.
Guys, a couple of weeks ago we talked about off the back of the budget coming out that women were the losers and childcare subsidies weren't going to be addressed and therefore it was going to be harder for women to go back to work or parents to go back to work because childcare is just simply unaffordable for some families and affordable childcare must be front and centre at the start of this beginning of this Queensland election.
What's a general rule? Because it's been a while since we had kids in childcare.
On average, $100 a day.
Mine's $115.
Typically, it's cheaper for me to send my daughter to a private school kindergarten than it is to send her to part-time daycare.
So that's per kid. I've got a 2 and a 3-year-old, child. Say. It's $200 a day, $1,000 a week before tax.
Before tax, before subsidy.
You can't afford that.
People can't afford it. And so it's not giving people the choice to go back to work. They're having to stay at home. Joining us now, President of the Australian Childcare Alliance, Queensland, Magella Fitzsimmons. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Magella, what are we needing to see from our government in regards to childcare subsidies to make it easier for parents to return to work?
Yeah, so we've got some asks that we've already asked the Queensland government, both sides of the big parties, and including the Greens and then the Independents. So we've talked about some things where we can have funding the gap fee for disadvantaged families and provide 2 days a week at an early learning service of their choice, which amounts to about $33 per child. But let's get those people from those disadvantaged families back to work, back to some sort of training, back to some sort of, you know, independency away from those government handouts.
You'd love to see free childcare. That happened a lot during the COVID pandemic. Yeah. Some places just said it's free. But then I read recently that it's one of those things, if you make it free for everyone now, the services get swamped. All of a sudden, people that didn't need to send their kids to childcare just go, wait, it's free.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. And what also happened was lots of families that had grandparents looking after or extended family looking after, they all of a sudden needed care as well because, you know, we know when COVID happened, those families were keeping them away from the elderly.
Yeah.
So what happened was probably a bit of a twofold effect. Like, you know, it was great services were able to provide that service, but because the government said we're only giving you this much money, services said, oh, well, we can only take this many children.
Magella, why is it so expensive? Like I gave an example that when I had my kids in daycare, it was costing me $98 to $100 a day per child. Now, I've got four of them, and at some point they were all in there together because they're all relatively close. Why is it so expensive? Because I'm sending my daughter now to a private school in the kindergarten program, and it's costing me less than half for a full-time position than what I was paying for 2 or 3 days a week in daycare.
Everything's means tested. So if you're earning that over that threshold, then you're obviously paying more for childcare because you're not getting as great a subsidy as those that are in that more disadvantaged. For those that are you know, on government subsidies, you're looking at 85% subsidy. So in a case where it's $100 a day, those families will be entitled to 75%, so they're paying $25 a day.
Good one. Magella Fitzsimons, President of the Australian Childcare Alliance Queensland, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hey guys, 133353, I want to hear from you. Are you parents that use childcare? Are you unable to enter back into the workforce because you can't afford childcare?
Call now or text Marto's burner phone 0484 10 1045.
Tiffany from North Lakes, do you send your kids to daycare?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Yeah, great.
Good, dude.
I do. I send my son 2 days a week. So here's the real kicker. I'm a nursing student, right?
Yeah.
So we don't get paid when we go on placement. We don't get paid when we go to uni. I don't get any Centrelink payments. They say that my husband, who earns less than $60,000 a year, earns too much for us to get that.
Oh, God.
So really? We get subsidies. Yep. But when I go on placement, we need to then pay for daycare for both our children to go for the full time that I'm on placement. So a block of placement is 4 weeks for 5 days of the week.
That's outrageous.
So we would need to come up with the daycare for that while I'm on placement, because the only other person I have to take care of my children would be my husband, so then he would have to take leave for that pay. Because I don't know about you guys, but there's no job out there that is going to, over the course of 3 years, give you 6 months of leave.
Can I just talking about your job, you are the most desired position. We need so many more nurses. We are so understaffed in all our hospitals. If they can't look after you, I don't see a future in our bloody society.
Tiffany, what would you say it costs you for, say, those four weeks of placement to send two kids 2 days a week or for full time?
For full time, I would dare say it's going to cost a good couple of $100. My husband brings in well and truly less than $800 a week. It would cost us about $400 for daycare, I reckon, for the two kids. And then you throw in the fact there are people that do work while they're studying, but then they obviously might not have enough annual leave, so they take leave without pay to do their placement. Or I know through the uni that I'm studying at, a lot of our placements are rural. They have a lot of rural contracts.
Mm.
So then you also throw in the fact that you would have to pay to stay away from home and pay for accommodation or for fuel.
No grandparents, Tiff?
No grandparents to help out.
I'm feeling for you.
Some people don't have that family support and they rely on these systems and services to be able to support them. You know, we want to talk about, you know, the government we want to come out of this, the other side, the economic recovery, but people can't afford.
And I was lucky as a kid. I pretty much grew up at my grandparents' place. My parents worked in Melbourne. We lived out in the western suburbs of Melbourne, a 45-minute drive, but my grandparents lived near my primary school.
Yeah.
So every morning at 6, my sister and I'd get dropped off there, then they'd pick us up 6:30 or 7 that night.
Sense of our parents work. Like, it's not even an option. They're still working in their 60s. You know, we don't have that luxury.
I see it riding home from work here. The number of grandparents pushing kids in prams around on bike tracks and stuff just to waste time. But they're doing all the child mining. Daniela from Karina, you're telling much the same story?
Hi, definitely the same story. I'm a healthcare worker.
Oh, God, another
one. And, I'm doing COVID testing for a living. So back when they were giving us all free childcare, I had to send my children, and we utilised before school care, after school care, vacation care, family daycare mums to get the girls to school on time. And we have no family support. So in exactly the same situation.
Daniela, have you got a solution?
I love working, so I'm trying to find that balance. And where it works for us is I work weekends. So I get penalty rates, but I give up missing out on
of course.
Time with my children. So
I'd like to just find that nice balance, but at the moment I just wish childcare was cheaper.
Melissa from New Farm, you want to have a say on this?
Yeah, I'm a childcare director.
Okay.
And obviously I operate the whole business.
Okay.
Yeah, so the reason childcare can get very, very expensive is because of the outgoings for the business, so the wages, because it does take a lot of staff to operate a childcare centre. And then we've got all the rent on top of that, plus like food and resources. There's just a lot that goes in.
I bet insurance is an enormous one too, Melissa.
Yes, yeah, everything. So there's just costs everywhere to operate a childcare centre. And I think the problem now is, too, we've had an oversupply of childcare centres. So centres aren't full, so they're not making as much money as they used to. So they're putting the fees up so they can cover the costs.
But that's not going to rectify itself. If more people put their kids in childcare, those centres aren't going to drop their fees.
No.
Probably not now, no.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, Melissa, like on the couple of occasions that we've gone to use a daycare facility, we've had to go on a waiting list because the supply and the demand is simply not there. And at one point we waited 6 months to get into a daycare centre, just one or two days a week for our kids. Yet I'm still paying $100 a day with no subsidy. And the class, like the rooms are full. What is it? Two staff to 16 kids. Is it one every eight?
Yeah.
And what are the wages of childcare workers? Because they're saying they're not really seeing the money. They're not getting paid enough.
It's not. Well, the wages are like because it takes so many staff to run a childcare centre.
Yeah.
So it depends what area you're in and it depends on the centre. So it depends on a lot of stuff. So some areas around Brisbane have an oversupply of childcare where there could be 20 centres within an area, and then you've got other areas that have got two childcare centres and have a waiting list of 6 months.
Okay, so economy of scale.
Zoning.
Yeah, so it just depends where you are as well. Like, we don't charge $100 a day. We only charge
$85.
Okay. So if a parent was on a full subsidy, 85%, which most of my parents are because of the area I work in, they're up for about $18 a day at a maximum.
Okay, Melissa, you're at the coalface. What's the answer then? How can people get affordable childcare? What needs to change?
I've been looking at this for years because I think that I've always thought to myself, because I used to work for ABC when they went into receivership.
Yeah, okay.
And I thought that it should be government run.
Yeah.
I don't think the sector should be privatised.
Yeah.
And that's the problem too, is people go into this business to make money.
Yeah.
So,
are they making it, Melissa?
Pardon?
And they're making it, like people who own childcare centres are quite well off and doing well out of it?
Well, it depends where your childcare centre is and it depends on a lot of things. If the childcare centre's not full, sometimes it's a really fine line. Childcare centres can either make you or break your business life. So as a business manager, there is a line that you have to cross to be able to make money. If you fall below that line, you could lose everything you own.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, nice work. Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks for your calls. That's it for today. We will see you tomorrow.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town.
This spring, Ladbrokes is changing the way you multi, and with their new multi features, giving you more chances to win. Gamble responsibly. Triple M.